You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Our show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and I am extremely delighted to have my really good friend, Michelle Wallace Campanelli, here with us.
Hi, Sita. Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Michelle in a little bit. And Ellen Little, my regular co-host, is not here today. So we've got our friend, Dr. Amasita Gibson, who is my personal friend. She is my professional friend. She inspires me and motivates me to do so many wonderful things in my life. And she is also a friend of our show. Welcome.
Thank you, Sita. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve. And you're always a giving person. I am so happy to be here to share and co-host with you and meet this wonderful, wonderful author, Michelle. I am so excited about hearing the rest of your story.
Yes, and you know, we were just talking before we went on air about everyone has a story to tell. And any person I come across on this planet seems to have a story as well. They always do. So for our listeners who are tuning in, our guest, Michelle Wallace Campanelli, is, I like how she writes it, an American writer and singer, and she is a celebrity. During the early 1990s, Michelle started writing short stories and fiction novels professionally. She has 9 stories appearing on the bestseller list, including 2 that reached number 1 in the New York Times. Her short stories have been included in over 30 international selling anthologies. She has also penned numerous novels, magazine, newspaper articles. Michelle has published both fiction and nonfiction by Simon and Schuster. She is also with the Brevard Symphony.
Space Coast Symphony.
Well, yeah, she's with the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra. And the thing is, she's also the CEO of Regal Entertainment Services. And I did have that written down, but you know, it's just so many people in Brevard doing stuff. And, you know, Michelle, the last time you were here, you brought with you Aaron Collins, but he's not here today, so give him our regards.
I will.
So stay tuned, my dear listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, because Dr. Gibson and I are going to be speaking with Michelle in a little bit. But before we go to Michelle, I just want to, you know, talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of lately, we've had so many people that are speaking, the political pundits, I want to say, talking on CNN and all the cable news networks about a divided nation. And we all know that united we stand and divided we fall. Am I correct there, Dr. Gibson?
Yes, you are.
Right?
We are better together. We're stronger together, you know. And we do have a lot of toxicity going in the air, but there are more of us that are positive and less people that are toxic. So I think as we enter into this new season, 2020, there's going to be a shift in the environment of how people treat each other with more dignity and respect.
Right. And so I'm on Facebook. When my husband goes to sleep, I'm enjoying my Facebook with my friends. And I met this wonderful lady, Robin Donaldson. And Robin is an attorney. She's based in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a former President Barack Obama alumni who worked on his historical campaign in 2008 in Florida. And she organized, she helped organize a lot of the healthcare reform that passed in 2010. And she's an educational and political consultant. And she uses her program, Paths to Peace, to work with political staffs and organizations that address issues on how to heal. And she uses this through practice of yoga and using the arts. And so I thought, since Michelle is coming to talk about, you know, her Regal Entertainment and the arts and writing and performing, I'd like to tie that into what's going on with what our friend Robin is doing. And how can we understand and help our neighbors and our friends to understand that if your neighbor loses her spouse, as a society, we should care if your neighbor have health insurance. Can she pay her mortgage? Can she afford to still pay her car payment? How can we all, whether you're registered Republican, Democrat, or independent, or whatever you are, if you go to bed with a full stomach, you should care if your neighbors have food on their table. And Robin struck me as a person that we could talk about peace and how to bring people together and message ourselves politically so that people do vote for issues concerning them and their neighbors and friends and relatives. So, Robin, thank you for calling in on our show. I know you're on the phone.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Well, thank you for taking the time in busy Atlanta, Georgia, with all the traffic to call in. Right. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about yourself and how you use yoga and to heal, to bring people together, to get our message out properly that as human beings we should all care.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, when you look at a lot of, you know, the origins of yoga and you look at people, you know, like Gandhi and Dr. King and, you know, Rosa Parks, and all of those people embraced yoga philosophies to help them through nonviolence, you know, resistance and political and social campaigns, you know, throughout history. And so it's a great community building tool. It's a great tool for people to just, you know, address any of their own, you know, issues around healing that they need to do. And, you know, when people do that work on themselves, it helps, you know, the collective as well. So that's kind of how I approach it.
So I'm sure, like everyone else, you're noticing what's happening with such a divide, whether it's cultural or social or emotional. Something is happening in our nation where people say one thing in private and they say another thing in public. So how do we get all of us to understand that on this human journey, this experience that we all call life, how do we get people to care about each other? And I know you're heavily involved in getting people out to vote. How do we get people out to vote for issues that concerns them and their families?
Sure. Well, one thing I feel like, you know, when you have to look at, you know, the history of the United States and just, you know, just look at various countries around the world, you know, a lot of these movements, you know, towards equality and, you know, various parts of history, you know, it doesn't just stop or end with one generation. It's a continuous cycle. So, you know, that's one thing I tell people they have to remember. You just can't give up. I know it, you know, you sometimes we all feel like we want to do that because, you know, it is so divisive on one end of the spectrum. You know, you see a lot of that, and then you have a lot of toxicity through the news and things of that nature. But, you know, if you think about people, again, I keep going back to, I mean, I'm in Atlanta, so, you know, Dr. King and Coretta Scott King, their legacies are very important here. And you have, you know, people like Congressman John Lewis and, you know, Ambassador Andrew Young. And, you know, these are huge civil rights icons, you know, who are, you know, some of them still walking around today, you know, in the city, and you see them. But you have to think about, like, if those people would have given up, where would we be as a country? So, you know, it's important that each generation knows that they have to offer something, you know, towards protecting our democracy, you know, towards equal rights.
And tending to the poor. I think oftentimes people forget that politics do include all of us collectively tending to the poor, the elderly,
absolutely,
the needy. And, you know, Michelle is nodding her head, and she's sponsoring our show today. And she did benefit from the ACA, right, Michelle?
Yes, that's true.
So we thank you for working on that as well. Was that difficult how did you get involved with that, with working on the ACA as well?
Yeah, that was a huge issue for me. I mean, just before the Obama campaign in 2008, once I finished law school, I had I lost several people in my family, you know, elderly people came, you know, through their end of life, and I just really started to see how impactful the healthcare system was. You know, if you do have insurance, if you don't, and just how hospitals were approaching things. And so then, when the Obama campaign started, I noticed that, you know, during that campaign, it wasn't just, you know, Democrats. I mean, I don't know if people remember, but, you know, there were Republicans who support him, independents, non-party affiliates, and when I would be out there organizing, a lot of times, you know, you see people and you might, you know, presume something about them, but you see them and then, you know, afterwards they'll come up and they would whisper, you know, I don't have health insurance, or they might whisper and say, you know, I have cancer, you know, and so it didn't matter, like, what the person looked like, what race, what ethnicity, their class. You know, there were so many people who were having issues with the healthcare system, and that was really eye-opening for me. So I continued to, you know, work on that through the passage of the ACA. And, you know, I was covered under the ACA for a very long time. And, it's, you know, I think the main thing is to look at, there might be a lot of differences, and there is, you know, divisiveness that's out there. But at the same time, there's a lot of room for common ground and for people to come together of all political persuasions. And, like, it was mentioned earlier about restoring and having more, you know, respect and dignity in the political discourse. And there are a lot of people who are open to that. And there's still a lot of issues like climate change, you know, foreign policy, protecting our democracy, you know, issues around mental health and addiction. You know, those are things that impact all of us, you know, as Americans. So I really encourage people to, you know, try to get outside your bubble and listen to other people who have different viewpoints and try to find those common ground.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, sometimes we all know people who are too much on the left or too much on the right. But I
Absolutely.
Think most Americans are somewhere in the middle. They know and mm-hmm. they understand that, Dr. Gibson and I were just saying that even if you're a veteran and you have good health insurance and you can afford to get a VA loan, I mean, the veterans have cousins, they have neighbors, they have friends, mm-hmm. they have families that also need affordable housing. Health insurance, yeah. They need a good interest rate. So it's not only one-sided, and I think Dr. Gibson is going to jump in here.
Yeah, it's not one-sided, really. And, you know, it comes back to, am I my sister or my brother's keeper? Whose keeper am I? So I like to say that a lot of people don't have health care, but that doesn't mean because you have health care, you're not in a position where you could help your neighbor, help a friend. And even if you have medical benefits through the military or even Medicare, Medicare, or some other source, it does not completely exempt you from your deductible, which can be extremely high if you have surgery, and it does not exempt you from being able to pay the entire bill. I heard a lady just had surgery. She was on the radio not too long ago. She had surgery. And she thought her bill would be maybe less than $100,000, and her and her husband got a bill for over $1 million. But they disputed it all the way down. And you have to be careful when you get these Medicare bills, because you have to look at what
the
they're billing
charges.
You. The hidden charges.
Well, what about prescription drugs? Look what happened recently. We had our house just passed, and I'm sure you saw that, Robin, where the house just passed a bill to lower prescription drugs. So politicians can work together when they want to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's people, you know, there's people on both sides that do want to, you know, work together, you know, and really restore the soul of the nation, because, I mean, it wasn't always like this. You know, there were times where, you know, you might be on a different side of an issue, but you can eventually come together to pass something. And I think a lot of people want to get back to that.
So your program, Pat's Path to Peace, you work mm-hmm. with so many people, and what is your message, like in 30 or 40 seconds, because we have to close off our segment with you, what do you tell people when you're speaking with them about peace and how to use peace to move forward and heal our nation?
You know, a lot of issues that we all have, it's rooted in trauma, and there's, you know, degrees of trauma, and it's really important to look at your, you know, what's happening in your life, you know, what issues that you need healing around, and understanding that through that own self-reflection and healing, that helps, that radiates out to the collective. And there's ways that we can, you know, through these programs, you know, you can do your own individual assessment to put yourself on a path of healing, and then, you know, support others and have others support you as well.
Yeah, because people want to get involved in political campaigns, and they want to help the community, and they want to help people to reach out so they can vote. But I think before we all get involved, we all need to actually look at ourselves and see, why is it we're signing up with this campaign? What do we believe in? Heal yourself before you try to bring in everybody else and tell them, do this and do that. Because so many, they're just misguided. They're like, I think you were saying the other day on Facebook, how many people say, I support this one and that one, but they don't really do anything.
Right.
And so we're gonna have to do a show about that one day, about get off the fence. I like when you talk. I love your video about getting off the fence. It was right on. It was spot on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for doing this show, too.
Well, Robin, thank you for calling in. And now we'll go right to Michelle. And I see we're all nodding our head. We agree with what she's saying.
Yes, absolutely.
We have to. We have to get to that point where we look at issues.
Right. People need to be more informed.
Right.
They're uninformed. Sometimes they just check the box and they don't read the information. So, you know, we always say that knowledge is power, but applied knowledge is what's the power. And we have to get people to read in the documents more.
Well, Michelle, thank you for, Michelle's here. Thank you for being here with us. And we'll say goodbye to Robin.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. So, Michelle, you're here. Yes. And so tell us now, the last time you were on the show, we had talked about you going back to school to get your bachelor's.
Yes.
And so lead us through. Your story is compelling. And everyone who is listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today should listen to what you say and how much you believed in yourself.
Well,
you were committed. You were committed to Michelle. You were committed to yourself.
Yes.
So how did all this come about?
Well, in 2012, my husband passed away suddenly, and I was left to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? And I've always been interested in education and going back to school and making myself into, I love the learning process, so to make myself into the person that I've always dreamed of being. And one of those was being well-educated. So I went back to school. I got a scholarship from Dr. Robert Lamb at Eastern Florida State College for music, because I sing, and he made it possible for me to go get my AA. And then I loved education so much, and I said, I'm not going to stop here. I'm going to go get my bachelor's degree. And so I went to University of Central Florida, and there I got my bachelor's degree in creative writing, and some of the classes I have been taking were screenwriting classes. And recently I just had one of my short stories made into a animated film by 12 Atlas of Films, and it was aired during a Space Coast Symphony Orchestra concert. They played music music that is involved with movies, because it was called Musicians Are Superheroes. And what it was based on is the benefits of music and how music can help people and how it helps children with education and teamwork. And so it winded up being a big success. We had 6 concerts, and 3,000 kids saw it. And I was so thrilled by it and the success of it. And it was wonderful.
You know, when I booked you for the show, I read something. It says, when we talk about arts and entertainment and what it does for a community,
mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of a really heavy work week, people love listening to the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra.
That's right.
People love reading a book. People love watching a movie. They want to get involved in whether it's politics or something in the environment or whatever. And you have, your entire life is about art.
Well, it's not entirely.
But it's like, since I've known you, you know, it's always, you wrote a book, you're getting involved in singing.
Well, I'll tell you, it started at home, because my mother, she's now retired, but she was an English professor at Florida Institute of Technology for over 40 years. And so I grew up loving literature and being interested in English and the arts. And there was always music in
my
home.
So it's
safe
to say your mom's your hero.
Yes, she is. She really is. In fact, she edited the screenplay. And it was wonderful. They asked, how many kids have never been to a symphony concert? And I would say probably a quarter of those kids had never been to a symphony concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very into music education. I think it's very important. And,
yeah.
And so it was wonderful to see that and see them experiencing. And the orchestra played things like Pirates of the Caribbean and things that the kids...
To get them involved.
And Superman and Spider-Man and all these theme tracks that they really loved. And they just got such a kick out of it. And it was so much fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I ran for office, we had a lot of questions about supporting art in the community and what it does for us. And I read something recently, and it says that in President Kennedy, signaled his intent to support the arts by inviting 155 leaders in American arts and sciences to inaugural events. That's how much he believed that arts and entertainment was good for our society, good for culture, good for community. Mm-hmm. So what do you tell people when they say, well, why do you do so much? How do you get involved in so much? How do you find so much time?
Well, it is a lot of time. And right now I'm at Southern New Hampshire University going on for my master's degree in the fine arts. And for, yes, thank you. And you have several degrees yourself.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll tell you, what surprised me the most about me being in school is people going, well, why are you doing that? You're almost, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm going towards 50, you know?
Why you look good.
You look great.
Why are you going back to school? Why? And I'm like, you know what? I love education. I am getting such a kick out of this. I'm learning so much. I feel like I'm growing as a person and learning. I still am not done learning. I mean, I hope I never quit learning.
Well, that's a question that Dr. Sita Gibson was going to answer for me, and you just led me right into it. Never stop learning and growing and getting all this, I mean, knowledge. Like knowledge, you said knowledge is power.
Yeah.
How did you do it? You were in the military, 2 doctorates, and all.
Well, since we're talking about the arts and music, when I was growing up, that was important in my family. And, you know, when I was growing up, I really thought we was P-O-O-R. But I guess we weren't. My parents and my aunt, we had subscription to the symphony, annual subscription, and I hated it.
You weren't poor if you had that.
Well, you know, I thought I was, but I guess I wasn't.
Yeah.
But we had subscription to the annual symphony concerts, and I played the clarinet for 8 years.
Did you really?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
I played, and I have to give a shout out to a friend of mine, if she's listening, Angelina DeWayne. She was the first clarinet, and she taught me a whole lot. And when she moved and she graduated, then I moved up to first clarinet. Okay. But I played clarinet from the 8th grade through high school. But one of the things that music does and arts does for the kids is it stimulates their mind process and it stimulates their creativity. You learn that
right.
In psychology, you know, 101, you know, the creative thinkings that they have. So I really support the arts and the music. And that's what part of our nonprofit does, you know, is trying to give scholarships to people that's going to be studying the arts and the music. And I think, Michelle, you are so amazing.
She's spot on. And you know what
yes.
It does too? It's it brings people together.
Yes.
How many children we have in Brevard that, like you say, have never been to the symphony.
Mm-hmm.
But then you give them that opportunity. And it's teamwork too.
Well, the whole film was about the benefits of music. And the different segments were about how music helps people. And one of them was how it helps people in nursing homes, the music therapy. Mm-hmm. How it gets kids to be involved in teamwork. Mm-hmm. You know, an orchestra is teamwork.
Yep,
you got to
exactly.
Be a team.
Well, you know, and the thing is, you hit it right on the head. I mean, we'll have some residents who in the nursing homes who would hear a certain song from a different era, maybe in the 30s or the 40s, and it brings back memories.
And life.
You know, yeah, so many songs stimulate that in your memory. And I know you sang for us once on air, and I hope you'll have time to sing for us today.
Not today.
No, maybe another time.
Maybe another time.
But it does. It brings back. But so what's in store for you? You tell us about which book, where are you up to now? With which book are you writing?
Well,
what should I tell our listeners where to find your books? Tell us all that good stuff.
Okay, well, all of my books, are under www.amazon.com. You can find them on bn.com. And basically, you can order them. You can find the list of my books at www.michellecampanelli.com. It's www.michellecampanelli.com. And all of my books are there and information. I do have some things coming up. Do we have time to talk
about
that
we
right
have,
now?
Yeah, we have 4 minutes. Yeah,
okay.
We were just trying to figure out our time. No, I want our listeners to know everything about you, about books that you're writing, books you already wrote. So we have time. So
okay,
yeah,
great.
Tell us now,
okay.
Whatever you want to say, you have a few minutes
well,
now.
Well, right now I'm writing my thesis novel to get my master's degree. So I'm very busy doing that. But I'm also, you know, the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra's a social media director. And so I'm involved in, that's what I do also.
How'd you get that job?
Yeah, wonderful.
In addition to everything else.
I was singing, Sherry McLean was my voice teacher, And she was involved with conductor Aaron Collins in the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra. And she said, hey, come out and sing in this chorus. Well, that's how I met Aaron. I started taking photos. He loved my photos. I started promoting the orchestra. Next thing I know, he's inviting me to meet Joyce Weldon, who's our PR person. And the next thing I know, I'm on the marketing team. And I've been doing it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. And it's been a lot of fun. I do graphic arts and photography and post ads and all of that for the orchestra. And getting, I love it. And we have an event coming up called Stars Sing Broadway. And it's on January 4th and 5th. On January 4th, it's at the Scott Center. On January 5th, it's at the Waxlax Center in Vero Beach. If you're interested in, if you like Broadway, which a lot of people do, you can get tickets or find out more information on www.spacecoastsymphony.org. And let me tell you something. If you've never seen this symphony, it is something to see.
Amazing.
Yes. When conductor Aaron Collins is up there, he's on fire. And it's just wonderful to watch. And if you love Broadway, like I love Broadway, it's exciting to see. So consider going to that on January 4th and 5th. Also, I'm involved, very involved in my church. And we have an event coming up called the Christmas Carnival. And this is a free family event. They're going to have food and crafts and games and fellowship. And that's at the First Christian Church of Melbourne on 2010 South Babcock Street on December 21st from 12 to 3.
We'll have to repeat that at the end of the show.
Okay.
And that's a lot of stuff.
And Santa's going to be there, I hear.
Yeah.
It's going to be important. So, you know, he's going to be there. There's going to be fellowship. It's a free event completely, and it's going to be a lot of fun for the kids. And so if you need a Christmas party where there's wonderful things to do, December 21st is the date. Again, it's First Christian Church of Melbourne.
And are you singing there?
I'm actually not. I'm hoping Santa will let me tell him what I want for Christmas. But no, I'm not singing at that event, no.
Well, you know, it's a proven fact that communities that have a lot of cultural events and a lot of arts, they do fare better. It's proven that people who come together to promote each other, whether it's a Space Coast Symphony, whether it's people who are authors, whether it's people who are public speakers, whatever it is, if your community come together and stand behind people who are trying to inform, give you ideas, be creative, bring out the creativity in the community, those communities are close-knit. And they do so much good for people.
And
when I see you, that's what I think about.
Well, I've sung in the choir since I was probably 12 years old. And so singing, I mean, it moves you. I mean, if you love gospel, I don't know. Yes. Do you like?
Absolutely. I directed a choir and sang in a choir for 7 years.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And I don't think I could sing. But you know what? Like you said, music brings everyone together. And I think it was Winston Marsalis. He's at, you know, my brother's a music educator, you know, in West Palm Beach. But Winston Marsalis said this, music is universal in any language. He carried a team to Cuba, and they had a big concert and just bust the whole, you know, nation wide open. It was beautiful.
Yes. It's the force that moves the universe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't even understand music from India, but you could feel the vibrations, yeah, right?
It brings people together.
Or the Middle East, you don't understand their language, but you could feel their music. And it makes you feel good because it's an appreciation for what they're doing. And I think we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back for our listeners who are tuned in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll be right back. We're just taking a quick station break, and we'll be back with Dr. Amasita Gibson and Michelle Wallace Campanelli.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we have my friend Dr. Sita Gibson filling in today for Ellen, and we've got my good friend Michelle Wallace Campanelli, who is here. She's an author. She's with the Space Coast Symphony. She is an inspiration in my life, and so many people who are sitting at home and saying, "Boy, I can't finish college. I don't have anything to get involved. I'm not sure how to engage myself in the community." They should listen to today's show and hear how Michelle went from losing her spouse to going back to school at Eastern Florida. Is it Eastern Florida?
Yeah,
Eastern Florida. Then she went to UCF. Now she's getting her master's in
Southern New Hampshire University.
Right. And she's all this time, she's been also still writing, doing all the social media stuff for the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra, still singing, still playing, and not sitting down and saying, "Poor me," and getting depressed. Because that's what a lot of people would have done in your shoes, and you chose to be positive.
Well, don't think that I didn't get depressed, because I did get depressed. But I picked myself up.
And how did you do that? How did you pick yourself up after Louis passed away and say, "I'm going to look out for Michelle now. Stop it"?
Well, to be honest, I went and tried out for a scholarship, and I wasn't even thinking I would get one. And then when I realized, wait a minute, Dr. Lamb is giving me a scholarship. He believes in me. Maybe I should believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And the more I did, and then I said, I'll start off with 2 classes, and maybe I'll pass. I hope. You know, I haven't been in school 20 years. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll get it. And then sure enough, I got 2 A's, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I can do this. I'm going to do this. And I just...
Yeah, I remember when you got your A's and you put it on Facebook. It's almost like all of us were right there with you in the classroom cheering you on. Because your success is also my success. When you do well, I feel like I did well as well.
Well, thank you. And you've always been very supportive of me. And I've been very thankful
for you. Well, I see it. And I see, Dr. Gibson, you just went to a conference in Atlanta, and this is all what you spoke about as well, is how to empower ourselves, mm-hmm. how to go forth and believe in yourself and do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So tell our listeners a little bit about what you take away from that.
Well, I'm going to tell you the takeaway that I got from it is that we all have to reposition ourselves. Reposition ourselves to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Reposition ourselves and connect with others that are like-minded like ourselves. This whole conference was about opening the heavens. Dr. Cindy Trim, she hosted it in Atlanta. But they had several, so many speakers, excellent speakers. Dr. Caroline Leaf, Les Brown was there. He was one of my motivators when I was at a younger age. And others that were there, and her husband. And Dr. Trim, it wasn't just a one-time thing for her, because she is on air every Thursday night. For those that want to really listen to her, you can just Google her name, Dr. Cindy Trim. And, you know, she prays, and she's a prophetic leader. Mm-hmm. And this conference was all about leadership. But what I take away, these are my thoughts, and I put together, is that when we are moving forward in 2020, we should move forward stronger together. And I have...
I like that.
I have the four F's, because, you know, Sita, I like to go with alphabet, and people learn better like this. So I have four F's for you that are different from my faith, family, finances, and having fun. For 2020, as we move forward, I would like for us to move forward in faith. When you be faithful. When you're faithful, you're powerful. To commit, to succeed, to elevate, to lead, to graduate like Michelle did. She took
the
step.
That's Michelle. You just talked about Michelle.
Yeah, to graduate. That's number one, faithful, moving out in power. Number two is be fearless, fearless in love. And we must be unlimited, unstoppable. We must be unpredictable. And we must love unconditionally. If we do that, we won't have a whole lot of toxicity.
And you also have to love yourself. I mean, so depressed after my husband died. I had to pick myself up and say, you're worth it. You're worth it.
That's right. We have to love ourselves, because if you don't love yourself first, you really can't love anybody else.
Right. I think everything you talk about is about you could apply leadership to groups. You can apply leadership to your family members.
Oh, yes.
You can apply it to your friends, but you also can be a leader for yourself.
You could be a leader for yourself.
You have to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's how you pick yourself up. You have to talk to yourself. And I talk to myself. I think it's great sometimes, because I'm my own best friend.
We can talk to we can talk to ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. And psychologists, I studied mental health. You know, one of my degrees is in mental health. And if we talk to ourselves, the only danger to it is if we start answering ourselves.
Right.
Okay. So
you might like the answers.
Yeah,
though.
We might not like the answers. So you could seek help for that. But so we are faithful, and then we are fearless, and then third, we must be fruitful. How are we going to impact lives? We got to install hope in this next generation.
Mm-hmm.
What legacy are you leaving behind, and how many will remember you for what you did?
And how you can use your gifts to help other people.
Use your gifts.
And Michelle uses her gifts of writing.
Right.
Of being part of the Brevard Symphony Orchestra.
It's Space Ghost.
Right.
Space Ghost. You know, she said she was going to have to correct me about that. And I am so sorry. It is Space Ghost.
Yes.
And Aaron Collins is probably going to say, hey, Sita Biggie, get with the program, Space Ghost Symphony Orchestra. But the thing is, talking about that, I heard once somebody said, take your talents, gifts, and abilities.
Right.
And go forth and multiply.
Right.
But I always say, talking about legacy, when something happens to you when you turn 50, and Michelle, you're getting there.
Oh, don't remind me, but yes.
So look out, Space Ghost Symphony.
But you know what? I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
And you look fabulous.
You know?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
When I turned 50, it was like almost like, you know what? This is it for me. But what you learn from yourself and others around you is the world is yours.
And every day is a gift. Every day.
Right.
I am not ashamed to be almost 50. I'm proud to be here.
Every day is a gift when you can get up in the morning and pinch yourself and you're above
and
the
say,
ground.
And say, look out, world, here I come.
Yeah,
and I want to follow up with what you said.
Thank you, Lord. I am here today, right?
And I want to follow up to what you said. What do you do for the world? What do you give back? And how do you empower the next generation? And I think my goal is to say to people, and it sounds like my mother's words, but she used to say to us girls, if you sleep with a man with no job, no ambition, no money in the bank, he doesn't have a way of paying bills, you know, you're going to have a child for a man with no ambition, no job, no money in the bank, no vision. And I think that's something that I want to empower young girls and boys, that before you reproduce, care about your environment.
Be accountable.
Be accountable to yourself. Mm-hmm. Use your reproductive system in a way that you would be proud of the product that you bring to this world. Because if you don't, look how many human traffickers are waiting. Look how many people are waiting to exploit children. Children are suffering. There's so many people who are homeless. There's so many children don't have lunches at school. And we want to empower parents so that they could understand these are precious lives that they're bringing into this world. And if you fall on hard times, that's where social programs are there to help you.
Yes, and right? Also education.
Right.
You have to believe in yourself and know that you can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was in a position where I didn't think I could, but I had, luckily, a few family members who believed in me, a few people that believed in me, and you know what? I started believing in myself after I got those good grades, that I could do this.
But look what public education did for you. You were able to apply for a scholarship.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so right. When we talk about, like we were talking with Robin this morning, about all of us collectively looking out for each other, it is a team effort. The leadership starts in our homes.
It is.
Talking to our children, our cousins, our family. And if something terrible happened in your life, your experience, don't be afraid to tell somebody else what happened to you and how to fix it.
Yeah. Right. Like And I understand that really well, because the young people are looking at us whether we believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And they're holding us accountable too, just like we are trying to hold them accountable.
Yes.
So when we talk about being fruitful, we have to lead by example. And you can lead from where you are. My story is from the pit to the palace. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, private to colonel or lieutenant colonel, I would say. And I would like them to say that I died empty. But when we are talking about being fruitful, like you said, give with the gifts, we need to give up our time, our treasures, and we also need to give up our talents, our gifts. Mm-hmm. Okay, the TTTs, you know, we hear that all the time. And the fourth and last thing that I would want to say that the takeaway from me collectively that I have put together is forgiving others. Forgiveness is a gift to yourself, and it's freedom for yourself. Because if we walk around here and we don't forgive others and forgive ourselves, we're going to be depressed, oppressed, suppressed.
Yeah, it's like a private prison.
And it's toxic. We're going to be toxic. Yeah. We're not going to have a healthier life. We're not going to have a healthier lifestyle. Our blood pressures might be high. You know, we were talking earlier about cholesterols and stress. And all of that is toxicity. And we usually project that on others when we go in our day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be like that. I tell people I'm allergic to negativity, so I try to stay negative.
Well, it's the truth, because, you know, like if I always say your mind works for you.
Mm-hmm.
It will give you what you give it. If you feed it negativity, it'll produce negativity.
Also with the forgiveness, there are times when you might have to forgive yourself. You made mistakes.
Oh, yes, I said that.
You went down the wrong road. You have to say, okay, that's in the past. Today is a new day.
And move forward.
And move forward.
But that's what I said. If the forgiveness, people think, okay, if I forgive, you know, let's make an example. If I forgive that person for molesting me or for the domestic violence, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just hold that against them. I just can't convince.
Hurting yourself.
Yes.
And you're holding.
But you know, have to forgive yourself first before you can forgive anybody else. That's the bottom line.
My goal, I think, for the next few years that I have left on earth, you know, we all think that this gift of being able to speak, the gift of being able to walk, the gift of being able to take a bath, think for ourselves, drive a car, it's not here forever.
Right.
Those are just gifts. But my gift is to empower young men and women to bring their children into this world because they would like to take care of them.
Yes.
Because I see too much. And I look at what's happening in the Caribbean and India and all these places with children. Sometimes you go home and you see little children selling fruits by the roadside.
Mm.
And their clothes are so worn and tattered. And you ask them, where do you live? And they say, oh, I live with this one or that one. They don't have their parents.
Right.
And so you want to empower people that this world is beautiful. So be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you agree with that as well.
Yeah, that's what we're about. Our company is about growing and empowering the future leaders. But we cannot forget the younger generation, like Cedar's saying, you know, talking about trafficking, you know, of kids. So how are we going to do that going forward?
Education.
How? Yeah,
I think Michelle's entire life is about education, whether it's an academic education, right, a trade, even sex education. That's very important. And I go to so many seminars as well where they speak to younger people about their reproductive rights and, you know, how to take care of themselves. And I find it's a subject that people in the Caribbean or in India or even my friends, they try to shy away from that subject with their kids. Mm-hmm. But they shouldn't. Be honest with people and say, hey, when I was young, I had a kid and I was already, and I want to teach you how I struggled. You might just be saving someone.
Yeah.
You know, taking your experience and helping them, you know. Right. So, Michelle, where can we find your books? Tell us the website if somebody is interested.
You can find them on Amazon.com and also BN.com. If you want to learn more about me and learn about my books, you can go to www.michellecampanelli.com. And also, if you're interested in the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra, go to www.spacecoastsymphony.org.
And so your position at the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra, I don't know if I asked you that before. What position do you
I'm
play?
The social media director. And okay. That includes Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And it's a wonderful, I love it. Basically, because I'm in charge of the online advertisements. I do graphics and also photography, and I get people interested in the concerts and their events, and I work with the marketing team, and it's wonderful. I've had so much joy out of it. We also have a Symphony Youth Orchestra. We have the Space Coast Symphony Jazz Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And so now we're having the Friends of the Symphony has started. It's a group that's helping the symphony, and it's a wonderful organization. It's a nonprofit, and it's conductor Aaron Collins. And our group does concerts all year round. We don't stop in the summer like a lot of orchestras. We allow kids under 18, if you're a student, you get into our concerts for free. And that's one thing that our organization is. And if you can't afford it, we have the Symphony for Everyone program. So call us up, let us know, and we will.
Is there
make
a website
it.
For the Space Coast
yes.
Symphony?
It is the www.spacecoastsymphony.org.
So I said it right this time.
Yes, you did.
I'm getting better. If we stay here for all day, we'll get it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, if you cannot afford a symphony ticket, let us know. We're going to help you out. We're going to let you in that concert. If you have kids, bring them. They're free if they're under 18. We want to promote music to children, for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's very important.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, this is Sita Begee, and we're having a really fun, unscripted, very educational, and quite informative show today. We're speaking with Michelle Campanelli. She does have Wallace in the middle. And Michelle inspired me and so many of my friends and people who know her by going back to school, getting her degree, getting involved in the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra, giving back to the community. We do live in such an artistic community in Brevard. We have so many people in this community that are doing wonderful, creative things. So much talent, right?
Including you.
Thank you. And then we have Dr. Gibson, who's here too, who always goes to these great conferences and come back and shares her knowledge on her social media page about what she learned from all these wonderful speakers. And I have to tell you, what you write, it impacts all of us, because not everyone could get on the plane and attend the workshops or attend the seminars. But when you bring it back and you share the information, we learn from you. So I just
Thank
want you.
You,
Dr. Gibson, to tell Michelle, I'm dying for Michelle to hear your F's and explain.
Okay. Well, the ones that we just discussed, and then I'll give you my core value F's. But the ones that we discussed that going forward for 2020, I would like people to look at being faithful, which is power, being fearless, which is love. And when you say faithful, it means you commit, like Michelle did. She committed to what she wanted to become. And then fearless means you have to take that step out, get off of the sand shores, and just walk it out. Even if you fail, you know, you fail, the worst you could do is fail. You could get back up. But I think it was Les Brown that says, when you fall or you fail, fall on your back. Because you'll be looking up and you will see that there's still a future for you. And then be fruitful. Fruitful doesn't mean to have a whole bunch of babies or anything like that, but inspire hope in others and leave a legacy behind. You can't be fruitful if everything you do is for yourself. You have to share what you know with others and empower. I'm called the Empowerment Doc, empowermentdoc.com. And last and finally is to forgive others, because forgiveness is freedom for yourself. If you can't forgive yourself, you can't move forward with others. And when you forgive others, you live a healthier lifestyle. You reduce stress and all the health problems that you have, and you eliminate that toxicity that you carry within for years and years. I know some people in organizations and churches and stuff like that, they like to hold stuff in for years. It's a generational curse that they carry in on from the grandmother, the great-grandmother, or whatever. And then with the core values for me, I said my faith is first, my family is second, my friends, close friends, my finances is third, my friends is fourth. And I said everyone should have fun, because if you're just working and you don't relax and recoup and have fun, you can't really replenish yourself to serve others.
Well, I think it's
better.
About moderation, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, people always get shocked. You know, they'll be on my Facebook and then I'll say, I'm just enjoying my earthly journey called life. And I find that, and then when I say, well, I am my best friend, they'll be like, okay, great. Because I think that's very deep when you could say that, because you wake up every day, but somebody didn't have that, they weren't that fortunate. Mm-hmm. And I know, Michelle, you and I have talked about this before, where you wake up every day, you're just grateful to have your gifts, to be able to write. Where do you write the best?
Well, I'll tell you, Well, I write best in the morning. I don't know why. Mm. That's just me. But I love how you said about enjoying life and having fun, because that also includes helping others, because
that's right.
I enjoy that, and that gives me fun as well.
It gives you pleasure.
And enjoying and appreciating what you have.
Yes.
I mean, every day is a gift. And so once you incorporate that in your life and you're thankful for everything, life just takes on a whole new meaning and fun.
It does. And yes. And Michelle, which book was your bestseller?
Well, the one that sold the best actually was called Chicken Soup for the Soul of America. And that happened right after 9/11. And that happened, you know, back in 9/11. And it helped raise millions of dollars for a bunch of organizations that had to do with 9/11 and girls and boys clubs and things like that. But that stayed on the number one New York Times for over a month.
Yeah,
and it helped raise money for a lot of people.
The firefighters, and,
yep,
victims,
yep, the yeah, first responders.
You know, I always say our nation came together after that tragedy, right? And you almost feel bad to say that. Why does it take a tragedy for people to come together?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't. No. We should wake up every day, and no matter what religion or class or color or where we come from, whether we're immigrant, non-immigrant, we should care. We really should, you know, and I'm not sure. Sometimes we lose that in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do understand, you know, why people feel the way they do. That's, like you say, it's generational. It's handed down sometime.
Right. And and diversity and inclusivity should be a really norm for everyone. And that's not saying that some of us don't have prejudice, because, you know, you can have prejudice, but when you act it out, then that's when it becomes racism. You know, you can be prejudiced. Like, you know, sometimes I'm prejudiced of folks that smoke because I don't want smokers in my house. Or you could be prejudiced of cats versus dogs. But when you start beating a cat, now that's the racism part. I'm just simplifying it so that people can understand that. So I think diversity and inclusivity has a greater stand now. You're seeing more people speaking about that on different levels. And it's not about black and white only either. It's about functional areas and about including men and women in different functional areas.
Right, and you know what?
And STEM program, for instance. You know, STEM programs, when I was growing, coming through the military, was there, but a lot of women were not going in engineering. Right. I was an engineer for 24 years, the Corps of Engineers in the Army. And now that's one of the things that I know CETA does it, and I'm sure, Michelle, you are probably involved in it also. It's trying to get more women in the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and you know, the other thing we're seeing too, a lot of, whether it's in the workplace or in between families and communities, is bullying. We are seeing a lot of that now too. And this is the season when I'm imploring all people, if you have that one relative or you have that friend or you have that neighbor that you could include in your holiday celebration or in something that's going on in your community, maybe you could send an invitation to them, do it. Because I think you're right about when you include people, no matter what it is, they feel good about themselves. And you might be able to just help someone this Christmas season, this holiday season, to say, enough is enough. Let's start fresh. Mm-hmm. What do you think about it, Michelle?
I think you should be supportive of one another. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you, I've had a lot of people go, why are you going back to school now? You know? Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't do that to other people. Be supportive, you know? And reach out to people and say, you know, you can do this. Be supportive. This could be their journey. Who are you to say that isn't their journey?
Well, you know, we do have a lot of people who are negative because negativity attracts negativity. And they would like for others to be in their same heap of whatever they're sitting
and
in at
home. And positivity attract positivity.
Right. And I choose, like you said, I would say, hey, don't rent any negative space in my head. It's not for sale, right? Mm-hmm. But Michelle, before we go, we have 2 minutes. I just want you to give us the website for your books and for the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra
okay,
one more time.
If you're interested in learning more about me and my books, go to www.michellecampanelli.com. And if you're interested in the symphony, go to www.spacecoastsymphony.org.
Such a pleasure to have you on the show, Michelle.
Thank
and
you.
Dr. Gibson, you too. Gosh.
Thank you.
You know, I just had this, I don't know what it is, divine intervention or just intuition or just friends, seeking friends out this morning. And I said, you know what? I think Dr. Gibson and Michelle are going to meet on my show today. And I could see this is going to be blossoming into something. Because what you say affect all of us, Dr.
Yes.
Gibson, and we need a person like you in our life to continue to teach us and give us and empower us as to just be the best we can be. So give us your website, too, for your business.
Well, my websites are inspireleadgrow.com and empowermentdoc.com or www.cetagibson.com.
Every time you
three.
Say the word empowerment, I think
empowerment.
About Michelle Obama and her book.
Yeah,
and how well she's empowered a lot of people through
she
her
sure
book.
Has. She sure
and I'm one of them as well.
Thank
so
you, Sita, for you. Having
anything
me.
Anything you
Sita.
Want to say yeah. before we go off? We have 30
well,
seconds.
I want to thank you.
Thank you, Sita, for having me. You're always so inspiring. You just like the ever-ready battery bunny. She goes. She has so much to do, but she does it well.
Right. And, you know, my son-in-law graduated from UCF this weekend, and I had my holiday party, and then I had to plan for my show, and I did it. So, Sita and friends, see you next week.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.